Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I don't have a skull. Or bones.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
This is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. MarsCon Preparation Edition, which means we don't have time to do a podcast. Isn't that right, Carrie?
I don't have time to do one.
I pretty much don't have time to do one either.
Hey, Alex, say hi.
Aw. A microphone.
Yeah.
It's a microphone.
We're speaking into a microphone. What did you do earlier?
In a party.
Yes, you did. Very good.
Using a microphone.
Yes. Who's a grown-up?
Luke and Mommy.
Luke and Mommy are grown-ups?
Mom.
Mommy.
Luke.
Listen to him pronouncing
and
it
is,
correctly.
Is Alex a grown-up?
No, a kiddo.
What kind of kiddo are you right now?
A party kiddo.
And you're a naked kiddo?
Yes.
Say naked kiddo.
Naked kiddo.
Naked kiddo.
Naked kiddo. Technically, he's not a naked kiddo. He's wearing a shirt.
That's all.
Yes, we are.
So yeah, between
Mommy, Luke.
Surprise potty training and Alex's upcoming birthday and. My birthday and everything else I'm doing and getting ready for MarsCon. Mm-hmm. This is all of me you're going to hear in episode 99. But yeah. I have gone online to read all your comments, even though I won't be the one reading.
And yeah, I have no idea what the rest of this episode will entail, but we at least wanted to record this while we had the chance.
You have to have an episode simply so that the one at MarsCon will be episode number 100.
Exactly.
And for no other reason.
Yes. So I don't know how long or short this episode will be. Probably short, but I'll figure out some other way to fill out more content and play a bunch of songs and comedy clips, and that will be episode 99 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. So until next time, Carrie, what do you have to say that's incredibly witty off the top of your head right now?
I hope you guys all have a great visit in the Garden of Beetlebum.
Okay, and so this has been... Yes. So on behalf of myself, Carrie, Alex, and Dun Dun Din Din, we will talk to you all later.
Dun 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 Dun.
Dun 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 Dun.
Mommy's Garden of Beetlebum.
Aw, thank you.
All right.
Garden of
Beetlebum. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Say bye-bye, Bad Rapport.
Now, I don't know if my kids are weird, but your kids have a clothes problem. My kids don't want to be clothed ever. They want to be naked all day long. They literally, you got to fight to get the clothes on. They just love being naked. So we had to bargain with them. We said, we will have naked time for you guys. You can have naked time every night from 6 to 7:30. And this works. So every night, is it 6? Is it 6? Yes. And they're like, yeah! It's naked time! Oh, they're like little Harvey Keitels just wandering around. Oh, with their tiny penises flapping. They're the anti-Tom Joneses. They're just little tiny penises, so happy. And it's wonderful how free they are with their nakedness, you know. But we have company drop by that's not used to naked children during naked times. Like, ding dong, they come in, Tom and Dex are like, yee-hoo! And the company without children is like, okay, where do I look? I don't want to look. Oh, a tiny penis. There we are. Then they start looking at my crotch and back of the tiny penises and at my... And I'm going, hey, don't contrast and compare. It's great, though. I mean, one time... Oh, this was funny. The company was sitting on the couch and I'm just watching. And Dex gets up next to the guy. He's naked, spread eagle, and just goes, bing! Just free, like he was clipping his earlobe. Just... The company's like, we gotta go. We just got here. No, we gotta, I'm gonna clean my refrigerator. I gotta go.
My Irish mother-in-law, their grandmother's great because she loves him. She's not bothered at all by the nakedness. Dex will be there going, bing, and she'll be going, oh, look, he's playing with his wee dandy Dublin. Oh, look, it's like Darby O'Gill's minuscule peeper would dwarf that little member we've got there. Because she's the one who got me into this. Because kids are, well, they're both, right? They're the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you, and they're the most difficult thing that's ever happened to you. You know, it's both. And you ask people, should we have children? It's like a secret society, and they want to draw you in. So I said to my mother-in-law, should we have children? She's like, oh, yeah, they're easy. I go, aren't they a lot of work? No, they're easy. Oh, yeah, children are a breeze. No problem. You can just keep them in your pocket like that. Oh, yeah, no problem. Walk around. Just give them a little M&M once in a while. No big deal. Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo. Then you have the children. Your life changes. They are need machines, man. You gotta look and do and say and change and go. Put it down. No. I mean, they go through a stage where they want to swallow something. They want to get something in their eye if they possibly can. You're like, no, 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 no. You know what I'm talking about. We all have parents. The only thing that makes it worth it is the power of their cuteness. It heals you. You'll chase them all day. And then my son Dex said to me last week, he said, Daddy, does God have feet? And I was weak by how cute that was. I was like, I've got to sit down. That's so goddamn cute. I'm weak from his cuteness. The power of his cuteness is making me weak. I mean, I was like Superman on kryptonite. I was like, cannot move. Child too cute. Must get help. But there are those days. There are those days where you've been up all night. You know, and you haven't brushed your teeth in a week. Your hair's greasy, sticking up big zit in your forehead. You're puffed out. You look like Lon Chaney. And you're sitting there, and you start to hate your friends without children because you're completely exhausted. You call your friends without children up, and they go, God, I slept till noon, and I'm still tired. I think I'll go to a Starbucks and get a Frappuccino. And you don't even hear them because you're chasing the kids. Put it down. No, 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 no. Put it down. Yeah, Frappuccino's good. No, 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 no. You know, here we go. You're on camera.
So I'm recording now. So suddenly this is an episode of Bad Rapport of Destiny.
Hooray!
Simply because
it's me, Moonbeam.
Because Moonbeam is actually physically next to me, which never happens anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
pretty
we much. So we're, what's our destination of destiny today, Moonbeam?
It's Alex's birthday party.
Yay!
Hey, Alex, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
He walked away, he doesn't believe me.
He's like, whatever, I got my Victor and my Luke train. I don't need to...
Yeah, basically, like Old Faithful, Alex had a bad teething night the night before the party, because he always has a bad teething night the night before something important, so... We can pretty much guarantee there's going to be a lot of teething next weekend at MarsCon.
And this is the All Aboard restaurant we were at.
All Aboard Diner in Downers Grove, Illinois.
I was laughing at the name of the restaurant down the street that was called the Downers Delight, and I just want to go. Wah, 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 wah.
Nice.
The bouncy ball.
Oh, okay. Here you go.
So. Ferris was on the podcast 2 years ago.
Yeah. Ferris, say hi to Ferris, our podcast.
Ferris, can you say hi into this microphone?
No.
Oh, okay. No. He's like, you're not Uncle Bill. I'm not going to be on your podcast. So earlier, I'll just bug you with one thing and then I'll stop recording because there's other things happening. Earlier, you were looking at this train-themed restaurant. You were saying that you should start a Yo Gabba Gabba-themed restaurant.
Yes.
So what would that be like?
It would be... Yes, my Yo Gabba Gabba-themed restaurant. There will be crazy hip-hop and hipster music playing all the time. Random blacklight dance parties for no reason.
See, it's like, you know how at diners, like the one...
I was just going to say, I actually got Alex to ask me something yesterday.
It's like, you know, most diners have the window into the kitchen where you see the chef, and then the chef brings you the food, then hits the bell, and then says whatever it is. That chef would have to be Biz Markie.
Yeah.
here's your French fries.
What?
You know.
That would be great.
I don't know. So anyway, that wraps up Bad Report of Destiny.
I have a lot more ideas for the Yo Gabba Gabba themed restaurant, but none of them are coming out of my skull at this exact
moment. Did anybody here make this cake?
I did.
Sarah did.
That's my wife,
good.
Sarah.
Thank you.
And I have...
She came here to kick ass and make cakes.
For the people in the audience who aren't in the secret society, you want to know what it's like to have kids, the workload. Adopt a 100-year-old man. Adopt a 100-year-old man who needs 24-hour nursing care. And then find out, gee, my life's really changed. Imagine that scene. Wipe my ass! Put on cartoons! Better apply cream, I might get a rash. Guess what? I didn't like what you made me for breakfast. I threw it on the floor. You better feed me, I might get cranky. I had a bad dream. I want to sleep in your bed. I'd like to stretch out. Guess what? It's naked time. Yeah? You like it? Huh? Bing! Where do you think you're going all dressed up, all fancy? Thought you'd go out to a nice romantic dinner. Well, think again. By the time you hit the door, I'm going to be crying. You're going to feel guilty. So I say, sit your ass down. We're putting on Pooh Bear. It's a good one, too. Piglet gets lost. Take him to Toys R Us. He's sitting there in the cart, right? Buy me that useless piece of plastic. Well, you already have that one. I don't have that one. I've got Megator. That's Mega-T. You can tell because the index fingers crook slightly different. Megator, Mega-T, Mega-Tie, Mega-2. Every time I click, it's $9.95 to you. That useless piece of plastic, or I think I feel a tantrum coming on. You gotta ask yourself, do you feel lucky? You got a choice. You got a choice. You can either pull me out of here, kicking and screaming, snot coming out of my nose. Everybody looking and pointing. Look at those evil parents. I ought to report them. All he wanted was a little toy. Or you can buy me that useless piece of plastic for $9.95. Now, I'm not a betting man. But you've had 4 hours sleep in the last 3 days. So I say, pull out your visa. It's everywhere you want to be.
Thank you.
What's Luke vlogging now?
Hey, everyone, this is Luke. And hey, remember that part earlier when Carrie said that, you know, we were too busy to make an episode? Well, yeah, we're really too busy to make an episode. So, the rest of this episode is going to be the usual amount of music you would hear on the show, except that the specific theme of this music is really awesome songs from the year 2013 that, for whatever reason, I never got around to playing on Bad Rapport before. And the reason why I'm doing that theme is I did a similar theme a year ago with the previous year's music, because the Logan Awards are now open and taking suggestions for songs that could get nominated for, you know, Best Original Song or Best Parody Song or Best Music Video for 2013. So I wanted to just kind of throw these songs out there as songs that you could potentially go and nominate. I can't nominate songs myself this year. Why? Because I am one of the jurors. Yes, for the first time ever, I am a juror on the Logan Awards. So the other jurors, if you haven't heard, are Ken Madman Sherlock of Let's Call Ken fame and Dementia Radio fame, Wacky Ben Pulliam, Kevin Eldridge of the Flopcast and Sponge Awareness Foundation, Chozo Ninpo of Orlando Nerdfest. He's a big person in the nerdcore scene. Bill Frenzer of Ogden Edsel. That's, you know, the group that did Dead Puppies. Yeah, the man behind Dead Puppies is one of our jurors. And, of course, Dr. Demento. I think that's all seven. Dr. Demento, me, Ken, Wacky Ben, Kevin Eldridge, Chozo Ninpo, Bill Frenzer. Yep, those are the seven. So, as a juror, I'm not allowed to nominate songs myself. But, you know, all throughout the year 2013 on Bad Rapport, I played a lot of awesome songs by all kinds of people, and I'm going to play some more for the rest of this episode. And what I'm going to do is the very first comment on this episode is going to be a list of all the songs from the year 2013 that I've played on Bad Rapport in the past and in this episode. So if you want a reference list, you can go check out that list, and if you think any of them are worthy of nomination, go to loganawards.com and click on the open nomination link, and it'll take you to a form that you fill out where you can submit the songs. But it doesn't have to be any. It doesn't have to be just the songs from the thing I'm suggesting. It can be any comedy song or video that you think is worthy of winning an award from the year 2013. We're going to keep the nomination page there open until April 3rd, and then the jurors are going to have 2 weeks to listen to them all and figure out which ones are going to win the award, or more to the point, submit their entries to the chair, Bill Putt, and then he'll figure out who wins the award, and it'll all be secret. And then the award will be given out at FumpFest in June, FumpFest.com. And speaking of FumpFest, real quick, if you haven't yet made your room reservation for that, please do so. The sooner you can make your reservation, the better. It'll help out Devo know that he's going to hit his quota. So go to the FumpFest.com website hotel link to get the details on where and when to do that. And you can also make your registration, buy your registration for FumpFest as well, because of course we need to sell as many as those as possible. So you can also do that at FumpFest.com. It's $35 right now. After April 1st, it's going up to $45. So the earlier you get it, the better. Anyway, but back to my original point. Awesome comedy music of 2013. Here's a whole bunch of it. Check out my list at the first comment of this episode at badrapport.com, episode 99. And we will see you all soon. Thanks.
My pretty and your little dog too. Revenge is 20 minutes ago.
Take whatever booty you can find, but remember the feast is mine.
I'm moving up to kidnapping, should be more polite.
Yeah, but dance with the devil in the pale moonlight.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
And call off Christmas curses foiled again. Ooh, fights and runs away. Lives to fight another day.
Dispute, are you be assimilated?
Now while you hang there and consider your fate,
should I say release the hounds or just say exterminate?
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Did I ever tell you how I got these scars?
I think the word you're looking for is
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Impressive, but you are not a Jedi yet.
It puts the lotion on his skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Are better than people. Sven, don't you think that's true?
Yeah, people will beat you and curse you and cheat you. Every one of them's bad, except you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. But people smell better than reindeers. Sven, don't you think I'm right?
That's once again true, for all except you.
You got me. Let's call it a night.
Good night.
Don't let the frost bite. Bite.
If you had a machine that could take you anywhere in the universe at any point in time, where would you go?
Me, I would go to the moon or the stars or the moons of Mars and drink a sonic screwdriver at some planet's dive bar and get an alien to come back to my place with me. Just be careful, I don't come down with a space BD. How cool would it be to go back to my past and see the old neighborhood where we had all those good laughs? I could seek out and find my old bully Big Reggie, then I'd sneak up behind him and give him a big wedgie. History is ours with the turn of a dial. We could ride the Titanic, at least for a while, or see the first Super Bowl and get a front row ticket. Or if you prefer, a nice game of cricket. I'm easy, I'll go along anywhere, I don't care. Just make sure that I can breathe the air. So please let me in your little blue abode and show me how to use the commode. I wanna ride in the TARDIS, I wanna go the farthest. I wanna see a caveman produce his first harvest. I wanna see a dinosaur, a minotaur, go on tour around the universe and see who's really smartest. I see you like celery, I guess I could try it. I prefer pie, but I've been meaning to diet. Whatever you say, we'll do it your way, okay? And when we meet the Cybermen, I swear I won't be afraid. Okay, yeah, I probably will, but I can help. I have gold, and I've heard it's pretty bad for the health. Plus, I'm good at math, I studied English lit. And string theory almost makes sense to me a bit. I can be an asset with the talents I bring. I can even dust all the little circular things. And I'll tidy up and sweep all the TARDIS hallways. Cause how far back do those things go anyway? You can do your thing, I trust your expertise. Just let me have a fling in the zero room, please. I can't wait until I hear the whir and zoom. I assume that you have plenty of room. I wanna ride in the TARDIS, I wanna go the farthest. I wanna see a caveman produce his first harvest. I wanna see a dinosaur, a minotaur, go on tour around the universe and see who's head is the hardest. We'll be right back. how the mysteries are solved. I want to meet an alien and shake his hand or whatever it's called. I want to see what brought an end to the dinosaurs' time. All right, that was Adric. Never mind. All of creation's a potential vacation, from primordial ooze to an advanced space station. Just think of all the things that I don't know about yet. And while we're at it, can I have a troglodyte as a pet? I promise I won't ever interfere with your career. I'll come along and I'll be out of your way, way over here. And you can keep doing whatever it is that you do. But now I'm in this too. So open the door and I'll be your new companion. And we can see the galaxy from end to end. And at the least, can you please take me back to yesterday so I can buy a lotto ticket for today? I want to ride in the TARDIS. I want to go the farthest. I want to see a caveman produce his first harvest. I want to see a dinosaur, a minotaur, and go on tour around the universe. Just tell me what my part is. So what do you say, Doctor? Can I come along?
No. I've already had one treacherous redhead in the TARDIS. I don't need another.
Lonely Island. We got my man Yorm Keeves in the house. And me, you know who the F I am. And if not, let me spell it out. They call me DUDETHAJTHAJSSEXWIGSFORMONEYBUTOLLYASADETHIGHTNOWIGHT. W comma I apostrophe M J U S T S H O R T O N C A S H A N D H A V E I R O N S I N T H E F I R E B U T I N T H I S E C O N O M Y I T apostrophe double L H A V E T O D O M Y N A M E I S Lenny.
That's gross.
I'm guessing you don't have much experience with heat.
Nope. But sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it'd be like when summer does come. Bees the buzz. Kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. I drink in my hand, my snow up against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in summer. I'll finally see a summer breeze blow away a winter storm, and find out what happens to solid water when it gets warm. And I can't wait to see what my buddies all think of me. Just imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer. The hot and the cold are both so intense, put them together, it just makes sense. Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman. When life gets rough, I like to hold on to my dream, relaxing in the summer sun, just letting off steam. Oh, the sky will be blue, and you guys will be there too, when I finally do what frozen things do in summer.
I'm gonna tell him.
Don't you dare.
In summer.
He craves him some killing and murdering.
He sees some teens, he thinks cool beans. Soon victim number one is letting out a blood-curdling scream. The director views it all on a view screen from off-screen. He's drinking whiskey from a paper cup as maniac number two sneaks up. He raises his machete with maniacal laugh. The director yells, cut, and gets cut stone cold in half.
Moving, I'm moving.
Sneaking up from behind. It's a
moving, I'm moving.
Murder for show, or did we just blow your damn mind? Sit around engross,
watching that guy get bisected.
It's movie night at the House of Fright. They talk about the shot and how it ties to connected themes. Then the Ghostbusters bust through the flat screen and cross streams. They blow up the whole universe, and all of the survivors get a deadly curse. It's all being seen at a theater on fire by a trio of teens, one of whom is a vampire.
Moving, I'm moving.
Reekers of cinema. It's a
moving, a moving.
Strapping for the ride, the movie's inside of a movie about an angel who falls from above, who wipes out all humanity and learns how. About a zombie who yearns to be free. Inside a reimagining of Mac and me. Inside a Holocaust musical with songs by Drake. Inside a Smell-O-Vision nature trail to Hail remake. Inside an outer space pirate flick with Shia LaBeouf. Inside a biopic about the life of Shia LaBeouf. Inside a buddy cop flick where Jason Statham cries. Inside a romantic comedy where everyone dies. Inside an inspirational sports film about Hacky Sack. Inside the long-awaited prequel to Kangaroo Jack.
Moving, I'm moving, I'm moving.
The audience, confused and tense, is wondering just what the hell was that. The internet
won't soon forget to never make another movie like that, because that sucked. Another victim of a bad script, bad timing, and worse luck. Wait, amid the sea of hate is one lone guy. He says,
I kinda liked it,
and gets crucified. He vows revenge on every critic and every review. And when he's resurrected, it's filmed and directed. That director gets filmed by a behind-the-scenes crew. And the cycle begins anew.
Moving, I'm moving.
Nobody knows what's what. It's a moving,
I'm moving.
We all start to groan and crawl up our own freaking
bones. Moving,
so much for my career.
Stalling industry is ground to a halt. Vultures are calling. All the people crowd into the streets. Sirens and cries. Our last chance to leave the island. Our last chance to survive. Yeah, people speak of our three queens. All were forced to flee into exile. To a lost isle far across the seas. They have summoned all of their subjects to follow their leads. Some heed the call. Some follow in search of their families. The road will be rough, I'm sure. Could lead me to a grave. But I've lived life as a coward. Now is the time to be brave. A simple worker, a common peasant. Not much of a man at all. But if I do this, I will be a hero, proud and standing tall. The water is too choppy, so I go beneath the streets, into the tunnels dug for centuries that lead to the east. The legends speak of a creature that lives here underneath, a subterranean colossus, a mechanical beast. So I go down, down beneath these streets, but I know the giant iron snake is waiting for me. And if so, I'll drive my blade into the belly of the beast. And if I do something, I will be something. So I go down, down beneath these streets, but I know giant iron snake is waiting for me. And if so, I'll drive my blade into the belly of the beast. And if I do something, I will be something. I feel it before I hear it. I hear it before I see it. The rumbling roar of the beast builds to screeches. Releases the stones from the walls. Dust fills the room. In the darkness, I feel the bones. These catacombs are a tomb. Boom. The giant iron snake approaches, slithering. Its eyes light up the darkness, glistening. It's listening. I know it knows that I'm here. It slows as it nears. My moment to strike arrives. Show it no fear. I go,
yeah!
And thrust my blade into its scaly iron side. Tear a hole open with both hands, crawl into its insides. And I find in the beast's belly all its previous hunters. Half-eaten bodies of others number in hundreds. All the dirty and dead-eyed survivors frozen in state. They tried and died before me and met horrible fates. There's not a moment to wait. No way I'll die in this place. So help me God, I will slay or ride this giant iron snake.
And I know
if I can harness it, I can ride the beast.
But oh no,
the giant iron snake will not go in peace.
If I'm slow,
that awful monster will deliver defeat.
And if I do nothing, I will be nothing.
And I know
if I can harness it, I can ride the beast.
But oh no,
the giant iron snake will not go in peace.
If I'm slow,
that awful monster will deliver defeat.
And if I do nothing, I will be nothing. Suddenly the serpent lurches forward, tossing me into the bodies, its stomach contents jostling. I scramble in its guts for footing, I clutch and find the cold steely bones of the giant snake's iron spine. I fasten it with straps and give it a powerful yank, and the creature leaps forward faster with the force of a tank. Thrashing from side to side with all of its might, until it bursts through the bedrock and into the moonlight. It launches and crashes upon the beach with a
boom,
expelling me and the others from its multiple wounds. Waiting there to meet us on the isle are our three queens, along with our children, spouses, and other refugees. A welcome of wine awaits, but first I turn and see the injured giant iron snake slipping back beneath the sea. As it heals itself, our eyes meet, and alas, the creature speaks. It says,
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please, said the giant iron snake to me in broken human ease.
I have bested the beast. It has delivered me to Queens.
If you see something, say something, say something.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please, said the giant iron snake to me in broken human ease.
I have bested the beast. It has delivered me to Queens.
If you see something, say something, say something.
Living in Burbank, see, but it's a little bit sweeter when you're little old me. Got a little bit of magic, but my name ain't Juan. Got you under my spell, but I spell everything wrong. M to the A to the G, I, C, plus me makes shenanigans constantly. But it's up to the herb to the I to the A, so all that means is that your mailbox might go away. Might pull a rabbit out of your pants, might make a jungle out of your plants. If I see a sexy muggle babe coming down the way, I might turn invisible and check her out, okay? I say invisible, but sometimes I get lazy, and you'll just see button chops floating there all crazy. Wait till you see all the things I can do, and I'm magically delicious like a purple horseshoe. Saying magic words is like busting rhymes. I'll press to digitate some dang good times. I'll put on a scarf and some fancy pants robes. I'll use fire 3 and make the whole place explode. Use Oculus or Paro, and then you'll see that I'll use this magic ring and dance, please. I'm dancing on the ceiling as I shake and shimmy. They call me Mr. Wizard and I need another Timmy. Casting spells on everyone I see is magic. All the witches hanging out with me is magic. You can see there's nothing up my sleeve. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
Can I have a volunteer? It's magic. Who make your dollar disappear? It's magic. I'm apparating out of here. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
I'm a sorcerer. Yes, of course-er. And I'm riding on a broom, not a horse-er. Stocking up on potions, I endorse-er. I never ever have to use the force-er. The ladies call me Kyle the Conjurer. I'll perform enchantments to a stonjurer. Y'all know who I am. I'm not a nonjurer. I have 718 Pokemon-jurer. I use my iPad without touching the screen. My writer says there's only red every flavor beans. I arrive on my dragon and I make the scene. I hatched her myself. Her name is Christine. I chew with Magic Ranger when I go to Japan. I chew with Rincewind. He's a funny little man. I chew with Glover when I go to Sean Doom. When I want to chill alone, I fly to the moon. Saying magic words is like busting rhymes. I'll press to digitate some dang good times. I'll put on a scarf and some fancy pants robes. Then I'll use Fire 3 and make the whole place explode. Use Oculus Apparel and then you'll see that I'll use his magic ring and dance, please. I'm dancing on the ceiling as I shake and shimmy. They call me Mr. Wizard. And I need another Timmy. Casting spells on everyone I see is magic. All the witches hanging out with me is magic. You can see there's nothing up my sleeve is magic.
Living that wizard life.
Can I have a volunteer? It's magic. Who make your dollar disappear? It's magic. I'm apparating out of here. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
Some folks say that my life is excess. They don't like that my powers led to my success. Well, I worked my magic butt off to get to this point, cause I went to Frogwarts and I rocked that joint. I don't suffer player haters in my magical life. You're gonna hang with this mage if you don't cause me strife. Best get out of my grill. Best not give me the biz, cause you know that nobody can beat the whiz. Casting spells on everyone I see is magic. All the witches hanging out with me, it's magic. Y'all can see there's nothing up my sleeve. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
Can I have a volunteer? It's magic. Who make your dollar disappear? It's magic. I'm apparating out of here. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
Casting spells on everyone I see. It's magic. All the witches hanging out with me. It's magic. You can see there's nothing up my sleeve. It's magic.
Living that wizard life.
Can I have a volunteer? It's magic. Who make your dollar disappear? It's magic. I'm apparating out of here. It's magic.
Living that wizard life. Living that wizard life.
Hey, I'm calling you on Skype.
Oh. You sound like you're on a phone.
Well, it works that way now with technology. I have a solution to your problem, but first, can we record comments?
You tricked me.
Yes, I did.
You jerk.
I'll read the comments, and then if you have a reaction, you can say something after I read them, okay?
Okay.
All right. Episode 97, Fuzzy Lizard Print Burka. Jared, quote, Sour Mash, unquote, Ringgold, says, "Yay, Carrie is going to start drinking. Let me introduce you to my friend Whiskey."
Yes.
So it makes
me... probably more of a vodka person, I'm guessing, but I mean, I'm nowhere to that point of being done nursing and ready to start chugging the booze.
I'm just happy to find out Jared Ringgold actually still listens to the show. I assumed he gave up on it long ago.
Yeah.
All right. Arkel says, Alex is a kid after my own heart. I also don't like having the birthday song sung at me. Haven't for as long as I can remember. Naturally, of course, upon hearing this, my dad's side of the family insisted on it until I was 25, when they finally gave up. So yeah, that's roughly a decade and a half of deliberate antagonizing by my own kin. It's a wonder that I turned out as decent an adult as I did. I think you've gotten Alex more conditioned to the birthday song now.
Yeah, he was pretty okay with it this weekend. Ew, Facebook, why are you showing me pictures of herpes? Gross. So, he's cool with the birthday song. What's the next comment?
Well, now we move on to comments about episode 98, which is titled Odd New Wave 2. Number 11 says, because of Bob. For me, this is the perfect capper to the whole Kickstarter thing. I love to hear about all the stuff Luke did when he was out here in California. Stay demented. Well, thank you very much, Bob, because many awesome things happened and stuff. Also, Bob will be at MarsCon, so that's very cool.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Sweet.
So, Eclectic Lee says, I'm sorry, did you call Shoebox an adult? That can't be right. Madman on the Loose says, I will never look at Thomas the same way again. We'll have to not shout, asshole, when I see Thomas. And by the way, I have now seen the character Whiff that we were talking about in that episode,
yeah,
the one with the glasses.
I was just listening to that episode, well, maybe because it's the most recent one, but yeah.
All right. Father Beast said, When our first was about 3, we decided to get him started on an ABC book. He looked at the book and identified the big letters in the front as Robbie Jacob Home. We had no idea what he meant for a little while. He patiently pointed to the A and said, Robbie. Then he pointed to the B and said, Jacob. And then he pointed to the C and he said, Home. Now we got it. In our apartment complex, his friend Robbie lived in apartment A, his friend Jacob lived in apartment B, and we lived in apartment C. He had recognized the letters on the apartment doors. That's a pretty smart kid.
Nice.
And then another comment, last comment here, Madman on the Loose says, as far as the music played in episodes, there are times when I listen and times when I skip by them. I would like to say that the number of other podcasts I have available... to play, how much time I do anticipate driving, or even what is being played, determines if I listen to the music or skip by it. Usually it is just the mood I am in. So, there we go. I hope he chose to listen to the music in this episode, even though a bunch of it is probably stuff he's heard before. It's still all good music. So, anyway, that brings us to the end of episode 99 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Episode 100.
The rest of the episode.
I played the clips we already recorded, and then I played a bunch of music, and then we recorded these comments just now.
Oh.
So I'm gonna post it today so that we can get it out of the way, and I can move on.
Title it half-assiest episode ever.
I'm gonna title it Naked Kiddo.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, episode 100 is about to happen, so. For comments for this episode, I would highly recommend if you have any earth-shattering questions that you want to ask me and Carrie for episode 100, leave a comment with that question, and then we will read it at episode 100 when we record it live at MarsCon. Doesn't that sound like an excellent plan, Carrie?
Yes, very excellent.
Is there anything else?
I'd like to finish my lunch soon.
Okay, so in the spirit of finishing lunches, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hooray! See you all at MarsCon.
Bye-bye. I need to go find out why Alex is crying.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
What's the issue, dear? Why are you holding back from such a man? Is it the clumpy way he walks?
Or the grumpy way he talks?
Or the pear-shaped, square-shaped weirdness of his feet?
And though we know he washes well, we always...
always ends up sort of smelly.
But you'll never meet a fellow who's as sensitive and sweet.
So he's a bit of a fixer-upper, so he's got a few flaws.
Like his peculiar brain, dear.
This thing with the reindeer
that's a little outside of nature's laws.
So he's a bit of a fixer-upper, but this we're certain of. You can fix this fixer-upper up with a little bit of love.
Can we please just stop talking about this? We've got a real, actual problem here.
I'll say.
So tell me, dear, is it the way that he runs scared, or that he's socially impaired?
And that he only likes to tinkle in the woods. What?
Are you holding back your fondness due to his unmanly blondness?
Or the way he covers up that easy, honest goods? He's just a bit of a fixer-upper. He's got a couple of buds. Isolation is confirmation of his desperation for healing hugs. So he's a bit of a fixer-upper, but we know what to do. The way to fix up this fixer-upper is to fix him up with you.
Enough! She is engaged to someone else, okay?
So she's a bit of a fixer-upper.
That's a minor thing.
Her quote engagement is a flex arrangement.
And by the way, I don't see no ring.
So she's a bit of a fixer-upper. Her brain's a bit betwixt. Get the fiancé out of the way, and the whole thing will be fixed.
We're not saying you can change him, cause people don't really change. We're only saying that love's a force as powerful as change. People make bad choices if they're mad or scared or stressed.
Up and round us out. Everyone's a bit of a fixer-upper, but when push comes to shove,
the only fixer-upper fixer that can fix a fixer-upper is
true, 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 true.
Do you, Anna, take Christoph to be your trollfully wedded?
Wait, what?
You're getting married.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Oh, look at that. I've been impaled.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.